Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast, episode 3. I'm Scott Tilford, your host, joined by Jules Gill.
Hey guys.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
And we thought we'd dedicate the new episode, the return episode, to Red Dead Redemption 2, because that's literally all we've been playing.
Yeah.
So to start off, I want to get a general idea of how many hours in you guys are and what your general impressions are so far. None of us have finished it.
No. So
I'm very close.
So I got it on Thursday evening, and I've played it for probably about 30 hours. Saturday and Sunday were pretty much full stints.
That's good.
On it. So yeah,
I didn't get to jump into it until Sunday, unfortunately. I took 2 days off work to play it Monday and Tuesday.
Halloween, eh?
And
it's because Josh Brown loves the banter sauce and he was drinking from the well. He's like, I've got stuff to do, boys. I'm going out on the sauce.
I was like, how have you got anything other to do?
Well, regardless of whether or not I love the sauce, I was still playing it Monday, Tuesday, most of Sunday. I must have put in, coming up on 30 hours-ish, not very far through the story, about less than halfway, I think.
Let's talk a little bit about
yourself.
Myself. I actually haven't checked the hour count, but my percentage is about 50%.
Wow, okay, that's more than me.
I'm in I'm at the very end of chapter 5.
I'm at chapter 3. Yeah. I've just been pissing about in backcountry.
The chapters are extremely lengthy as well. You really get a sense of place. Like, you know, the general sort of setup that you're looking after this camp and you're bringing stuff back and forward. They really want you to care about that stuff, so they kind of, they don't drag the chapters out, but you get a real good sense of, you know, taking care of a certain place. General impressions, I think, I've used this word a lot when we've been talking about it. I kind of think it's transcendent. I think that they do such an unprecedented level of immersion and, like, you know, mechanical depth to the world that I don't know, when I come out of a long stint on it, I don't know if the same with you guys, but I come out of a long stint playing it and everything feels weird.
Yeah.
Everything feels like an interaction.
I'm fully expecting when I put the controller down to stand up and the camera to move behind me and for me to go like, well, that's me done for today
it's
then.
Like, yeah, this weird sort of, like, I expect like a little mini contextual menu to pop up in the corner.
Well, to be fair, with my actual, like, sort of clumsiness in real life, some of the clunk that from the game actually is kind of very similar. So it's like, Jules tried to pick up a toothbrush, right? Just get in line. I've knocked over this.
Even when I was, like, jumping into other mediums, like, I watched a movie for the first time, like, after a 10-hour stint.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the landscape and I was like, oh, that looks like Red Dead. Those hills are like something from Red Dead.
That turns out you're watching, like, Blade Runner or something.
I had a weird thing yesterday because I went for a haircut yesterday. And as I went into the room, I it was like I was in Red Dead. I opened the door. And I
just, did you say to him, like, give me a 3-pip? Yeah. Give me a 3-pip, boy.
I want to trim down from a 5 to a 3. And it has this weird kind of effect on you because it is so incredibly immersive. So my general take is that I think they've created something that is next level in terms of tone and, you know, character drive.
I think it is, without a doubt, the best game that I've played this year. Best AAA game that I've played this year. No, I haven't played God of War, but to be honest, like, it's one of those games where there are a few things I don't like about the game. Don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect game. I resist anyone who says that it is a 10 out of 10 perfect game, because you're like, seriously, you don't think it can be bettered in any way possible? Are you saying that item management and taking your two guns off your horse, they get unequipped every goddamn time, is good, is it?
The Rockstar junk is present.
Still. It is a fantastic playing game for the most part. The shooting is really tight, the exploration is fantastic, and I just enjoy living in the world. Yeah. I love open world games when they can actually convince you that it feels lived in. And it was one of my actual big problems with Red Dead Redemption 1, mm-hmm. is that while that world was great, it didn't feel like there was much to do outside of it. So yeah. There's things to explore everywhere. There's mm-hmm. so much to do that I'm actually going, God damn, I'm not going to finish the story at this rate.
I know. That's my biggest worry at the moment. I've played again almost 30 hours, but I've barely touched the story in a significant way, and I'm just living off the land. Like, we talk about it in the office, and we're talking about what we're doing, and it's like, I'm going to chop this wood for 20 minutes. Yeah. I'm going to hunt this deer. I'm going to just do this menial stuff. And yeah, you bounce it out with train robberies and holding people up.
Or you're supposed to.
Why do I want to do this stuff in this camp? Because I genuinely do. If another game taught me to move a stack of hair from one end of my camp to the other, I'd be like, no, absolutely not. Yeah. If Ubisoft told me to do that, I would be like, absolutely not. And
to be
I've
only done those things once.
Really?
Yeah, because like when Mr. Adam Cleary reckons he's doing those things all day long, and I'm like, you're not supposed to be. I think it's just meant to be like a flavor of the world. It's supposed to enhance the real world, like emulative, like, you know, drudgery of that.
But
that time.
But the fact that they've included it and it's something that you either do or you don't do, like, it's just another facet of just shows how much time and love. And you know what? Like, I know that there was a lot of shady stuff going around about the developers and their crunch time work rates and having to get all this done. But seriously, I know the ends for me. Just about justify the means, because the fact that it is a fantastic game, I just wish it didn't have to come at the expense of people being worked to the bone
As far as I've read up on that, like, it seems like the 100-hour thing was the specific group of executives that chose to do that, whereas the rest of it was this sort of like assumed pressure, like this weird kind of peer pressure like environment in Rockstar for the last few years. So obviously they all worked flat out.
It's kind of like we've got with the empty dog food tin arena when we're all fighting for scraps and we all have to get in there, and it's whoever beats the other person to death gets
it. I mean, it was my birthday the other weekend. I still have.
That's what we haven't seen Ewan on the channel in a while.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to sort that out.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but so I think they do a huge point with, like, you know, enforced drudgery, and you feel it. You feel like, like you said about hunting, like you're manually picking up corpses, and you one corpse per mish back to the camp and little bits like that. And I think for me, it all works. But I mean, did you have a point where you thought that was like too bad, or it was like it was getting in the way of?
No. The thing I really liked about it was is I'd go out and do a mission, and then at first I sort of cursed the fact that there was no quick travel option immediately available to me, and I was like to get back to camp and then accept the next mission. But then I learned just to be like, right, okay, well, I'm just going to take the scenic route now and do all of these missions, go fishing, go like looking for birds with the binoculars and stuff like that. And you know, just so happens to be if there was a guy who happened to be alone by a campfire.
Maybe roast him.
Yeah, the best thing is I've personalised my knife. Knife is like gold with skulls on. I just walk up to be like, howdy, stranger.
You got a skull knife?
No, I've got a basic knife because I don't go around stabbing people basic in the side.
I'm not going to lie, I switch to the knife every time. When there's one guy left in a firefight, I'm running up on him and shrieking. Really? Oh, God, I want to fatality that last person every time.
A disturbing amount of animations. Let's face it. Like, there's... There are some stuff that's just like, you know, shooting, going through doors, fine. Chopping wood, I was, like you say, glad to see that they put a few extra animations in. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect there to be that many animations for you stabbing a dead corpse. Didn't expect to see the rabbit having its skin ripped off. That really took me by surprise the first time. I was like, whoa.
The wildlife fatalities are Mortal Kombat 11. I didn't realize was releasing this yet. But like, following when you just rip an entire rabbit. It's like, you know, in Yakuza, when they get rid of their whole costume in one go. It's like that. It's just sort of like, here's an entire rabbit skin or an entire buffalo skin. Or whatever. But what do you think of the general sort of.
I love the way it sort of makes you feel for those animals just there and that. Like, if your horse goes down and it's sort of whimpering, you don't have any horse revive left. You've got to put it down. You're like, oh, I'm a terrible person. I don't want to do this.
So instead of picking out pick out the pump action shotgun and just be like, sorry.
It's not the start of Wolfenstein 2.
Yo, gonna be glue.
for the general clunk, I think it took a long time to get used to. I didn't really do much shooting in the first 10 hours or so, because I was just, like I said, living off the land. I didn't get into that many shootouts, and I thought it was really cumbersome to sort of get your way into cover and sort of try to pull off these shots. But now I sort of like how considered it is. I like pulling back the, do you know what you call it? What's the hammer? Pulling back the hammer before you shoot. It gives you a sort of more control over these gunfights. But I I don't know if it's quite Max Payne 3 level.
No. Max Payne 3 actually had a really, really accomplished start, and I wish that there were more options to dodge. I feel like that is one of the things that lets it down slightly.
Movement and gunfights is
It depends on how flustered you get in a fight, because if you're being flanked by three things, it's a credit to the AI, to be honest, because they don't actually just stand there waiting for you to come in. For in the most parts, they'll at least try to come around you. So it's what you want to do is you want to sit behind there and just go, cool, I'm behind cover, Gears of War style, pick them off one by one. Yeah. But because they're constantly moving around you, you're like, oh crap, that doesn't actually work. Oh, now I've messed up because I've switched the wrong gun, or I've come out of cover, I didn't want to do that. Well, so that is a negative, but only because of the pressure that's put on the player.
I'll clarify what I mean, because the cover system, the cover button is rarely goes where you want them to.
You
can kind of, because of past Rockstar games, you get used to that level of Rockstar junk, and you're like, okay, the animation priority is going to take me in this direction, there's weight and momentum to the way he moves. Same in Max Payne 3. You can kind of get used to it. But that's what I meant by, like, sometimes when all hell's breaking loose, he's just like in the middle not doing anything, and it's like, oh come on.
The moment that you unlock the ability to manually paint with the Red Dead thing, Red Eye, that is where the game finally comes into its own in terms of the shooting, because I didn't like the fact that you would just sweep and just paint things. You're like, I don't want to waste three shots on this guy. Totally. I've now wasted my entire Deadeye meter. But once you get that ability, I'm like, now I feel like I'm an accomplished gunfighter.
It's interesting too.
I was going to say, that's what makes me think it was sort of purposeful, because when you start out, you've got these really terrible weapons, you've got this kind of crappy Deadeye system, but once you start putting money into buying new things, customizing your loadout and stuff, then combat becomes really fun. Once you get two pistols, you can just start taking fools down, you're fanning them, you're just getting cool headshots. But until you get to that point, and it took me about 10 hours to get to that point, because I was sort of not paying attention to it. If you don't pay attention to it, it is janky in a really kind of unfulfilling, unsatisfying way, in my opinion.
I think it's weird, because they obviously put a lot of things in there that, like I said, enforced drudgery, whether it be like specific animations, getting cans off cabinets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that all of that, like the moment that it all clicked for me was the first campfire party, when Dutch says, like, we've got enough supplies, we can have the first campfire. And the way that they show like human interaction, like that social aspect, and it's like, no, this is what all of this is working towards, just so you can have, you can let the pressure off and everyone can enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And you're drinking beer, you're talking to everybody, there's campfire songs. And that was the bit where I was like, right, I totally get what they're doing. All the, like, the drudgery stuff, the mechanical side of it, that's all to benefit the other side. It's all about juxtaposition, which is entirely the Western genre, and like little pockets of humanity in this horrible landscape. And that was when it all fell into place for me. And so, like, I absolutely get that the opening is a slog, like, to some degree. I didn't think it was that bad.
It's
horrible.
It's the same thing. It's like, there were some websites like Kotaku and IGN, and I said to Phil when I came in on Friday, I was like, okay, the game's just installed. How long do you want to bet before people start absolutely crapping on it? Because it's a reactionary thing. If a game comes out and everyone says it's great, then 3 or 4 days later there'll be a publication that say there's something that's awful about it. We're giving a balanced view. We're saying it's a great game, but there are some flaws. It's not a perfect game.
On the site we've got a thing about things no one wants to admit about Red Dead, because of course we do.
Yeah.
It isn't the perfect game.
No.
But it does kind of have, there is absolutely a way to read it where it's like, all this is intentional.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's meant to make you appreciate
the other stuff. But then, it was Kotaku put out a article that just said, NPCs feel really sort of shallow, and
it's all like a stage play,
and it's all kind of like they only come to you when they want stuff from you. It's like, but that's it's not real life. At the end of the day, there are video game mechanics and limitations that have to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Why would I don't understand
that piece. Did you read that?
I haven't read that.
So that's Heather Alexandria's piece. That's a really interesting piece, because
it was capitalizing on a wave of hype of being like, the game is great. No, it's crap.
But that piece, though, like, having read it, like, it seems like her impressions are based on Valentine, the very first town, because it does feel more staged when you walk in. I think all of you would have seen the same animations I did when you first walk into that town. Mm-hmm. And things like the saloon bar fight, stuff like that. Like, initially, those things do happen because they want you to see it.
Yep.
But the more you play, especially when you go to Saint-Denis, like, any of those bigger places do have the more sprawling, dynamic AI.
Yep.
And I wonder how much she played before she wrote that.
Well, it's interesting, because I actually based Valentine as my sort of, like, I'm going to go and try and live a few days just as a person in the townsfolk. And I know you were saying, like, before we did this, like, what are your stories about it? My story is, I went there last night, and my guy was filthy, the horse was near death because I'd just been attacked by
shooting it.
What have you been doing?
Well, so to set up from this, I'd gone for some reason. Oh, what did I do? I went to the oil field that's nearby, and I just they yelled at me, and I take very. I diffused it, and I was like, I'm just riding by, so so call your jets, mate.
And then I will kill you.
And then the guy was just like, yeah, walk away, you punk. And then I turned and I was like, excuse me, I have literally done nothing. I'm a fine, upstanding gentleman. So I went up to him, just shot him straight in the face, as you do. And then I rode off, law caught up me, cooled down, got to Valentine.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Went to the hotel, had a bath, had the deluxe bath, you know. And, we all
had a pair of hands, you might say.
Yeah, and she gave me a little kiss in the head, and then I was like, right, see you later. Then I thought, I'm going to go have a nice, relaxing drink. My horse is fine now, everything's cool, no bounties going on, I'm happy. Walked into the bar, and there was a guy with a raccoon skin cap at the end of the bar, and he was just like mouthing off. And I went up there and I was like, bought a drink. And he starts going about, oh, real men didn't used to just piss in the saloon. They used to turd in the saloon. And I was like, what the hell is he talking about? And he goes like, and if you've got a problem with that, then you ain't a real man.
Have you not fought this guy?
No.
I
was just like sitting there for a bit, and I was like, right, just mind my own business, okay? And then he gave us the option to, you know, like greet an antagonist. And I was like, all right, mate. And he goes, what are you looking at? And I was like, okay, cool, this is escalating. And the bar guy just goes, now, I don't want any trouble here. He don't mean no harm. Yep. As he was saying that, the guy got up and went and Superman punched me. So I was like, right, okay, all bets are off. So I dragged him outside. I pushed him out the door. We went down into the mucky bit, punching each other up. People started clapping and cheering and like, woo, woo. The sheriff comes along. Nice. And you can hear it like in the background as I'm fighting. I'm just blocking at this point just to see what happens because I thought he was going to arrest me if I killed him.
Yep. He punched you first.
But that's the thing, he punched me first. So what he did was he literally just goes, like, quiet down, boys, finish up, like that. And he starts firing his gun in the air, like, it's like, go, that's enough, like that. Now, so I stopped, the guy went on me again, and the sheriff just shot him. And I was like, well, he gave you a warning. Then I picked up the nice raccoon hat, and I was like,
yes. That's awesome. Yep. So that fight was like similar for me, apart from I got thrown out the window, and then it ended normally. I think I beat him or whatever, and then you knock him out. I forget how the rest of that fight goes, but the start of that is scripted in terms of that guy's conversation with you.
Right. Okay.
But it seems like it can play out differently depending on how the fight itself
goes. Yeah.
But that plays into the sort of scripted nature, I guess, at the beginning. But I wanted you guys to all have like.
Well, that wasn't at the beginning. That was not. That's not part of a mission or anything.
No,
like
no.
That.
You just go to the saloon. But it's any time the first time you go to the saloon. Which, like, it's handy.
Oh, okay,
the
okay, cool. Yeah.
It's the Valentine saloon, if anyone wants to do it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I got the raccoon, like, rare hat because of that.
Because if you haven't killed him, comes back, and every time you go to the saloon, he's like, oh, you again.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, there's that. But give me your story.
I think my story might be a bit more emergent, but then I don't know. Because you can't. The beauty of this game is that you can't really tell what is scripted and what is just sort of happening randomly. So I was. You see, like, the plume of smoke coming out. So I ran down to this camp. It could be nice guys, could be bad guys. It was a group of of O'Driscolls. So those guys, those guys aren't getting out. And they shout out, they're like, "Oh, get away, guys." So I'm like, "All right, put on the old bandana, get a stick of dynamite out, just throw that into that."
Yeah, classic.
But just boom, like it takes out almost all of them. There's one guy on the floor, I just execute him. And I'm like, you know what, this is quite a nice spot. I'm going to chill out here for the night. Yeah. So I loot them all, get everything. Some coyotes come around, and I'm like, "Oh, guys, you got to keep away from me." So I'm like, "All right, I'm going to call it a night. Go to sleep, wake up in the morning, read through Arthur's journal," which is awesome. Like reading through that submission.
I did take your advice and actually did read it.
So I'm sat there reading just my journal, chilling out in the middle of the morning, moved all these bodies away. And then like these bounty hunters, I can hear the bounty hunters outside. Like they're surrounding me and they tell me to get out. And I'm like, holy crap. Like Arthur shuts his journal. I'm like, I've got to go outside. Mm-hmm. There's like six bounty hunters waiting for me out there. I'm like, what do I do?
Like John Marsden again?
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, Christ, they've got me pegged in. So I like go out, immediately hit Deadeye, get my two pistols out, like start taking them all out. Like there's a couple running away on horses. I try to get him with my sniper rifle. I'm just like, that is like crazy that happened. I just went to bed, woke up, and was surrounded. They found me, and it was like such a great moment.
Like script, it wasn't a cut. It wasn't a cutscene.
No, it wasn't a cutscene.
But it was like a scripted.
Well, people are saying they're not even that, because you know how just bounty hunters come for you like at random times.
That's what I mean. It felt more intentional than just an NPC standing there saying things. It was more of like a group of them.
Yeah, it was a group of them, but it was just sort of in the random way they would come for you in the world anyway. You know, when they just sort of spawn the map and it's like, oh, there's bounty hunters nearby. Mm-hmm. It was like that, but because of like what happened before and because I was in the tent, it was like they surrounded me in a sort of random emergent way.
I've heard of people like waking up like hogtied as well. Like if you sleep without putting up your tent, sometimes if you've got a bounty in an area and you've just haven't triggered it yet, you'll wake up and you'll be hogtied and they'll be like, what the hell? And they'll just be like, and they'll literally just cart your back.
I did have a guy, I was hunting down because you start doing the bounty missions when you get the posters from the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And I went and hunted a guy down, and as I got
Joshua
to
Brown.
Him,
oh,
there
man,
was a Joshua
sorry,
Brown.
Guys.
As I got to the guy, another person just like me came in, another cowboy came in with a mask on and grabbed him and hogtied him and tried to run away with him.
Oh, right.
So I had to chase after someone who's clearly on the same moral level as me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hitting triangle, going, hey, man, slow down. Yeah, yeah, like, whatever. Yeah. And I just had to run up to him and hit like circle and kick him off his horse.
Yeah, yeah.
And then have like a gun showdown with this guy.
Amazing.
And he was like, I hogtied him. And he was like, who do you think you are? What are you doing? He's like, I'm just trying to take him to the sheriff. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm more important than you. So like, I started like shooting, but it's like, they really want you to think about all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. The story that I have is the mildest of mild spoilers. It's not story dependent. It's one side mission in Saint Denis, which you might have already done. You can go do it whenever. There's a little NPC that you talk to, one of the strangers in Saint Denis, who's like a priest or a monk.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what his name is. Yeah, he's bald with a big beard. Might be you.
Okay.
And you talk to him, and he's very like, you know, like, hey brother, how's it going? Like, I'm trying to like, you know,
that is how I
about,
talk. So yeah.
Trying to like tell people about like the faith and you know raise the general level of positivity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, very Jules. And so you talk to him for a bit, and he says that hey, there's you know, he hears that there's this problem with one of the nearby stores, and he like thinks that maybe something you know is going on in there. And so he tells you to go check out the store, and like obviously you can say yes or no, but you go do it. And obviously you're in this big like, you know, metropolis kind of thing. Saint Denis is the biggest, most bustling area in the game apart from Blackwater. And like, so you go to this little like, you know, shop or whatever, and you go in, it's all desolate, and you do the standard thing where you explore and you find different stuff. And eventually you find a bootcase and you find some markings on the floor.
Right.
And so you have the option to like wrench the bootcase open, and you go down the stairs, and he's the leader of a slave ring.
Oh,
and
what?
So you find all these.
That's
like,
not good.
It's horrible.
What?
And it's like, and you find all these like. There's like two or three like slaves like underground that have been trapped there, and they're still alive, but they're all like withered, and obviously they're like, you know, dying. And the music is this like strained like one string note that just hangs the whole time, because you have the realization,
this guy's going on,
it's dark, like what you find. And I just like the fact that it comes full circle, because like the state of the world, so much is happening in that world, like the way that they've designed the world, it really feels like you've just stumbled upon this underground horrible nefarious thing. That because all this other stuff's going on, no one would ever notice these two people stuck down here.
Oh, man.
And it's like, and so you you take them out and you can talk to me and say, oh, it's all right now, you come with me and stuff. And you take them back to the brother priest guy, and he takes them to get some food, because they don't even speak English.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, that really got me, like in terms of the sound design and the unexpected nature of it. And then he says like, yeah, there's like this undercurrent to Saint Denis, like, yeah, it's this big opulent city, but there's this whole underground, like there's like, it's actually like a slave trade port, and there's all this other stuff. You can pick this up by just walking through Saint Denis.
Yeah.
But and it's like, man, there's way more to this, like layers to this world than just like here's a big city.
You can do some pretty crazy things as well that you might not even think of doing.
Forced
like
death.
Yeah, well, I hogtied a person and left them down in the bayou because I wanted, I wanted to see what would happen.
Hold up in court, Jules.
Because my theory was is that like if I take him down to the bayou, like, I wonder if like, animals interact with people if you just sit there and just watch them.
Oh, they do.
And yeah, so like sometimes like, buzzards will land on them and they even react to that saying like get off that they're still like alive or whatever. Uh-huh. But the alligators went for him, and so I was just there like, ooh, that's grim.
I'll do you another.
They got like literally like clumped on and then started going back in the water, and then it was just like,
my God,
oh man, he dead.
Because in Assassin's Creed and in Mafia, it's a canned animation where they just grab the body, but in this, it's like a proper struggle.
Yeah,
how are you gonna say?
No, I was gonna say, I bet you were just stood there like, that looks like a you problem. Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with like the animations when the bears attack you and stuff like that. Like, you are, it looks horrible.
It's the first time that happened, it was the Revenant.
It even pauses on top of you, like,
yeah, I did. But very uncomfortable. I was like, personal space.
You feel free.
I was going to say, when it all clicks, it is like unlike anything else. Mm-hmm. But there are times where the Rockstar clunk comes in. Like, I don't know if you guys, I'm completely messing this up. I don't know if you guys have met this fella who challenges you to like a shooting contest.
I've done two of those so far with him.
I've only done one.
I only met the guy once and I was like, yeah, I'll accept the challenge. I beat him the first time and he was like, oh, do you want to double up for $10?
For shooting the birds when they came across.
And I was like, I want to do that. So I was clicking the button and I went to click square. And for some reason, my dude just twats him with my the rifle stock. And he's like, I'm like, I'm sorry, guy. And at first, the option's still there. It's like, oh, do you want to do the 10 thing? I'm like, oh, he might forgive me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he gets up and he just starts shooting me. And I'm like, I don't want to kill him because I want the option to do this in the future. So I just had to run away while he's like chasing me. And I'm like, please just stop. I don't want to hurt you.
At some point.
It's Rockstar's clunky controls, not me.
There's a mission where you've got to rob a train fairly early on. And you've got to, I'll try not to spoil it, but you've got to go and actually demand money off of people. Now, I was like, okay, walking up, aiming the gun at people, and I was like waiting for the prompt, and then it was like, beat him or like take, and I was like, okay, cool. But then it didn't come up, so this guy's just standing there, he's like, I ain't giving you money, and Marston's there like, come on, get the money. And I'm just like, I want to get the money. And it's just like, at the end, I just went, okay, I'll just shoot him then. Like, so I shot him, and he goes, failed. And I'm like, oh.
That's I've had that as well.
Okay, well, when I've tried to take a shortcut away because after playing the game and seeing so many bronze and silver rewards and not gold, I'm like, oh, okay, what were the requirements for getting that mission? And it's like, get to the thing within 1:30, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'll replay that and get a shortcut. Mm. Oh, your horse has become detached. Oh, you can't go that way. Oh, it's like flipped it over, or like people shoot at you for some reason. Like, why? Come on.
I had a mission like that where because the Pinkertons are hunting you from the beginning, the Pinkerton Detective Agency.
Yeah,
and there's one mission where there's like a few of them come, just appear out of nowhere and you start fighting them, and I managed to sneak around them and stab them, and you're supposed to get away, so it just failed it and it said a Pinkerton has died. I'm like, yeah, they're supposed to.
Yeah, I was like,
they do in every other mission.
That
stuff can kind of be a little bit like some parts of it they want to be scripted, and like, if you go against that at your peril.
The missions are actually quite hard in terms of their requirements to get gold on some of them.
I've
not
seen this gold thing.
So like, whenever you complete it, it'll like have a little icon that appears in the left hand corner saying what the mission you've done, and it'll be silver, gold, or bronze.
Yeah.
And it does an achievement for getting gold on every single one of them.
Same achievement.
And I was looking at them and I was like, okay, some of them requirements are actually quite tough. But I was like, okay, fine, I'll replay a few of them. But my God, you have to sit through everything again. So you effectively have to play the game twice.
But that's
I'm fine with that. But it's just like, okay, if I want to go from here to here, there's like a good example is you got to get to ride alongside a ravine,
mm-hmm.
and you have to ride alongside that ravine and listen to the same dialogue every time you want to attempt that mission. It's like, can I not just skip to the checkpoints? You know, I've completed it. Just skip me to that bit. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I think going back to like the sort of the way that it controls and the jank and the combat. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of people talking online about changing the sliders and the options to make it way more responsive.
Yes. I do think you need to.
Yeah, I haven't done that because I'm a stickler for like I want to play it the way that they've intended. Yeah, like I wouldn't put mods on my games ever or anything like that. So I've kind of just been playing it the clunky ass way that they've made it.
Fair enough.
But that's the thing with replaying stuff, because then you do have to go through all that clunk all over again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think like as an overall closing statement, it's as far as like, you know, when they just started leading up to release, they were like, we're going to revolutionize the open world genre. And everyone was kind of like, okay, I'm interested to see what that is. And I think it takes a long time for it to play its hand. But like, as we've discussed, like stuff like the campfire interactions, the juxtaposition, the world detail, like I do think, I don't know if it's revolutionized it, but I think they're bringing something new to the table. And I think like, it'd be interesting to see where it goes from here.
That's what I was about to say. What's interesting for me is where we go from here. here, because in a lot of ways, I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is building upon a lot of the aims that Grand Theft Auto 4 had, like striving for that kind of realism.
Yeah.
And it like doubled down on that, not only in gameplay, but like the side activities in the world. It sort of realized what GTA 4 was trying to do in a way. But I don't know how this translates, not only to other Rockstar games, but other open world games, because will GTA 5 sort of mimic this? Because although they are sort of similar in structure, they're both massive open world games where you shoot people in the head for a living. They are fundamentally quite different, and that's what makes them both really good in their own sort of right. But will we see these systems being transferred over to that, or will it just be the sort of environmental storytelling and the sort of feel of the world rather than the slow, clunky slog that we do love but may not translate well to that franchise?
I mean, if you look at things that revolutionized open world games, I'd say that the Spider-Man one recently has, like, because that's because of the way it feels to move around it. That's that's taken one that's taken one aspect of how you approach an open world thing and done it incredibly well. I feel like what Rockstar has done with this game is that they have taken the idea of storytelling and that is their gimmick, because let's face it, the world itself, while looking beautiful, there are a lot of like massive stretches of nothing. Like there's like lots of like tiny little details that aren't really clearly signposted, and you would totally miss them, like unless somebody had already found them and posted them online. And it's that sharing of stories that like basically lets people get connected with it. I don't know. It's like I said, it's the best AAA game I've played this year.
I think that it hasn't been God of War yet, but I want to see how the story wraps up. But yeah, I think that's the thing. Like, they've made this world, like I was saying to Josh, like how many other open world games tell stories with their open worlds? Like where you're fundamentally getting like additional elements, narrative elements that you can bring back in that reinforce all the other things that you're doing. And I think that all the kills in Red Dead land with so much more weight because of that, like stranglehold that it has on you kind of thing. Like, it feels like this desolate Wild West, every person for themselves kind of thing. So I think all of that stuff's kind of conducive. So I think that's what they're going for when they said we're going to revolutionize the open world genre. We're going to make the whole thing this big, you know, like purposeful interaction, which is like, you know, contrast to the likes of Ubisoft or even Spider-Man had a very formulaic approach to it. So personally, I'm, like I said, blown away, transcending all the positive things. So yeah, we'll kind of, we'll continue to play at some, we've done a review on the site, but I mean, we'll continue to do as much coverage as possible. So thank all you guys for watching and listening and wherever you are. This has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been Scott.
I've been Jules.
I've been Josh.
I'll catch you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.